in different versions of the Nevi'im, you're going to find Parakhov Dalet starts in two different places. Either Pasukhov Tes of Parakhov Gimel is the beginning of Parakhov Dalet, or it's the end of Parakhov Gimel. So it says, Ve'yaldov Misham Yishib Mitzvot HaZen Gedi. After the huge miracle happened, where Shaul HaMelech wasn't sure what to do, David HaMelech went up. He had an aliyah, a miracle of him performed for him. So obviously this is an elevation in status. He became very great. He went up and lived in the Mitzvot by the strongholds of Ein Gedi. We all know what Ein Gedi is today. Ein Gedi is that place that right across the street is the Dead Sea. And, you know, on this side of the street is Ein Gedi, a beautiful, beautiful area where there are ibex and even leopards that live there. I'm sure there's like one or two leopards that live there. A huge, beautiful area. He hid by the rocks of Ein Gedi. When he came back from chasing after the police, back to the lane where they told him, saying, "You need David Mimbar Ein Gedi." Right, David Melech was in the desert of Ein Gedi. Shaul HaMelech took 3,000 men, young men from all Bnei Tzuria, Yehoshua, Vakish, David. And he went to go search for David Anosh of all Bnei Tzuria, Elim, by the rocks of the ibex, the rocks of these, you know, huge goats, the wild goats. They're right over there. It's unbelievable that Shaul HaMelech was called away from, he had surrounded David. There was no chance for David to get out. And David HaMelech had even given up hope, as we talked about last week. And it said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what am I supposed to do? And Hashem said, whoa, I'll take care of this for you. And Shaul HaMelech sees this miracle happening for David and doesn't do anything about it. He's called away to go fight the Plishim. There are no Plishim to fight. It was all a ruse, all a fake. Some say it was even a Malach that came to tell him to get him out of there, and still he didn't realize. And nonetheless, there's something so strange over here, right? Shaul HaMelech took no notice whatsoever. Now, again, he didn't have to gather people like he did the first time. The first time he had to gather people to fight against the Plishtim because he faked that he was fighting against the Plishtim while chasing after David, who had fought the Plishtim for him. And then he said, oh, we're fighting the Plishtim, and then went after David. Now he already had people together. He only had to choose men, whomever he wanted to be able to fight, and that was all that they needed to do. Pasuk Gimel said, V'yavol Gidros Hatzon, and he came to the sheepfolds along the way, Al HaDerech. V'sham Ma'ara, there was a cave. V'yavol Shaul HaHasech HaZraglav, Shaul HaMelech went in to go to urinate. V'davah Anashav Yarkzei HaMa'ara Sh David and all of his men were all on the other side of the cave, right? The other side of the cave, they were sitting together right over there. Now, it is extremely strange that Shaul HaMelech picked the cave that David HaMelech was hiding in. Unbelievably strange over there. So obviously, this shows Hashkacha Pratis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking for David HaMelech all over the land and yet didn't search the caves. Why wouldn't you have searched the caves? Like, obviously, that's pure Hashkacha Pratis. They didn't even think about this. Malbim says he did it on purpose. It was the least hiding spot of all time. The cave was right there on the road and was so obvious. There's no way he could have hidden there. That's what everybody thought. So the Malbim says he purposely did it, and that's the idea behind it. But Targum Yonas Minozio brings down the famous Medrash. David HaMelech had asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu three questions. We already got through one of them. Why are there crazy people in the world? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, David, you're going to need it yourself. Remember what happened with Achish, the king of Gas. He faked being a crazy person and thus was able to get away from Achish, king of Gas. The second question he asked was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are there spiders in the world? What's the point of spiders in the world? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, in order to hide things from people that didn't need to be there. Now, what that means and what the answer is a very strange answer, but this is what happened. According to Targum Yonah, after David and his men had entered the cave, a spider spun a web over the opening of the cave. So Shaul HaMelech thought, there's no way that there could be anybody hiding in this cave. The spider web feels like it's been there for such a long time over there. But in Brachos Samach Beis Mabez is another thing to learn over here. The modesty that Shaul HaMelech had even when he was inside the cave. Not only to go into the cave, he entered as far into the cave as he could, all the way back to where David HaMelech and his men were hiding, right, to make sure, right, that he wouldn't be seen by anybody over there. And David was convinced that he can't kill Shaul because of that modesty. The pure modesty that he had, he couldn't kill him because of that. The men of David said to him, here is the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to you, that I'm going to give your enemies in your hands. You could do to them is whatever is good in your eyes. So David got up and he cut off the corner of the cloak, right, the Shaul did balot in what's it called, quietly. Now, first of all, we don't see anywhere where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to David HaMelech that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of all of your enemies, and I'm going to put the enemies inside your hand. We don't see that happening. It could have been it was a nevuah from Shmuel and Avi that we're just not privy to, but it doesn't see that way. Either way, there's for sure David HaMelech thought, this is not the enemies of Shaul HaMelech, and the enemy meaning Shaul HaMelech. It's referring to enemies as in the other enemies of the state, the other people around. Those are the people that I have to stay away from. That's what he assumed that it referred to over here. While he was in this cave, he actually may have written written Tehillim Nun Zion, which is a reference to what happened in the cave itself when Shaul was going after him. This is courageous, right? But it's also almost like a test. David saw that there was something that would be a test over here. What was he supposed to do? Knowing that Shaul's soldiers were outside, was he supposed to kill the king? Was he not to? And he ended up tearing off the piece of the cloak right over here.
He didn't have a mandate to. God didn't tell him to get rid of Shaul.
No, definitely not. The only question is, somebody tries to kill you. How about Lorgecha, Hashkin, Lorge? You got to get up and try to kill him first.
It can't apply to the king.
Yes. It does if the king is going against the law. And he had already killed Novi or Kohanim. But there is a law in which the king can't go further than. And he had already done quite a bit.
Shaul, David was Moed
v'Malchus. But David Malchus knew he wasn't.
But that's not for David to make this decision to make. It's Shaul's decision to make.
You're getting to a quandary here because you have two legitimate melachim making decisions. And a melech is allowed to make that decision. And especially if he's trying to kill you. You are allowed to do something in order to save yourself, get yourself out of it. David Mel could have done it. He just never did. The question is why and what else could he have done? We're Chav Dalet, Pasuk Hey, Eitan. There is a little bit of a question behind this. But yes, you could, even if the king is chasing after you, you don't have to just die. You don't just stand there and just be like, hey, show me.
Right. You can, I mean, you're probably allowed to put up a fight. But yeah. To be the aggressor, so to speak. Like he
No, that might be too much. You're right. It might be too much to be able to be an aggressor. But he is on the run, sitting in a cave, and he doesn't know if he's going to get out of this. Maybe there is a way to be able to do it over here. Anyway, he did feel that this was a test. He was a chassid, and that he ended up taking care of. However, Chazal say that this is a real issue. When he cut off the corner, that meant that he potered Shaul's beged from having tzitzis. Which means that then, at that moment, it was putter from tzitzis, which means he wasn't wearing tzitzis. So he took away a mitzvah saseh from Shaul HaMelech. So on the one hand, he didn't kill Shaul HaMelech. That's great. But he also took away a full mitzvah from him. He didn't have to do it. David HaMelech was really upset at himself for even doing it. That's what it means. Vayiach reichin, vayach leiv David osu asher karas. He felt bad about what he had done. How could I have done that? How could I have knocked off such a thing? Chazal say also that if you disgrace clothing, you don't treat it properly, then the clothing won't treat you properly at the end of your life. You'll be cold. You're going to be treated as cold because you're not treating clothes properly. The clothes aren't going to treat you. And that's why he got cold in the beginning of Melachim Aleph. There was something that was wrong over here as well. Some say that it was Ruach HaKodesh. When he tore off the piece of clothing, he got a piece of Ruach HaKodesh that his kingdom would be torn from him, that a kingdom would be split. And then he saw that Rechavim and Yeravim were going to split up the kingdom. That was something as well. But Yom HaLanoshim, he said to his men, Chalila mi Hashem, imas asa dover zalav dunilu Mashiach Hashem. Chalila, that I should do this thing to my master, to the anointed one of Hashem, l'shloch yadi bai, to put my hand upon him, ki Mashiach Hashem hu. He's the anointed one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, I can't do this. I absolutely can't do this. Now what had happened? Abishai ben Tzruya went up to his uncle David and he said, David HaMelech, I'll do it for you. I'll do it. I'll kill Shaul HaMelech. He's coming after you. I'll do it. Instead, if you don't want to do it, I'll do it. And David HaMelech had to say, Chalila li. No, I swear almost, I'm not going to touch the anointed one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not going to do it for two reasons. Number one, he's Mashiach of Hashem, the Mi'am Loi says. Number two, it's a bad precedent to kill the present king. Because the only way you become king is by killing the king before you. That's not a good idea over here. And that's the idea behind it. Some say that he was saying, Chalila mi Hashem, mi Masas Dover Azeh, because this is Mashiach Hashem, ki Mashiach Hashem hu. He felt remorse about it. I can't even believe that I tore off the piece of clothing. So David pacified his men with words. And he did not allow them to get up against Shaul. Shaul kam mi Amara, right? Shaul got up from the cave, and he went back in the road itself. Now, Bayeshasa does not only mean pacify over there. He divided them in opinion. Some of them said, we should kill him anyway, even if David's telling us no. The others said, no, we should listen to David HaMelech. Now, this is difficult in a cave when your voices are echoing against the walls and you're having an argument about what to do with Shaul HaMelech itself. I have no idea how this ended up happening. Obviously, there's no lights in the cave.
The time frame there's no way to be able to say it. Too. Like, all this, like, he just went to relieve himself.
In a 30-second, 1 minute, let's say, 1 minute, period of what they could have done over here. He left the cave. And he called out after Shaul, saying, Adoni HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech turned behind him. It's interesting, by the way, not Vayar, Vayabet. Almost like a purposeful look behind him. Like, how dare you speak to me that way? He bowed down to his head to the ground. He bowed down. Why are you listening to the words of a man, Doigo Adomi, saying, Hine David Mevakesh Ruasecha, that David HaMelech, right, is searching for your evil. How could you trust Doeg? You know what kind of a person he is. Why are you trusting that guy? That's number one. Number two, he was saying it euphemistically. He knew that Shaul HaMelech was trying to kill him, but he didn't want to say that Shaul HaMelech. How could you listen to someone else who wants you to kill me, but he's really referring to Shaul himself? Right? You see today that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in my hands in the cave. I wanted to kill you, but I had pity on you. And I said, I'm not going to touch my master. He is the anointed one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no way that's going to happen over there. That's that. And the idea that he said over here, they wanted to kill you. My men wanted to kill you. They were all sitting in the cave with me, but I said, no, absolutely not. It's not going to happen. My father, look, come and look. By the way, we see over here from the tour says you can call your father-in-law dad. That he has the status of a father. A father-in-law has the status of a dad, because there is a chiv on the father-in-law itself. Avi is used over here referring to, you know, to what's called the Shaul HaMelech. Now it could be it's something different. It says maybe it's because Shaul HaMelech was so special to David HaMelech, he considered him, right? He's trying to call him Choshev, right? But it could be that though. And also, you should know, by the way, when it comes to Abolar Gecha Hashkim Lahorgo, that you're allowed to kill somebody if he's coming to kill you is true by everybody except your father. Because your father will not end up killing you, so you can't kill your father if you think he's trying to kill you, because he's not going to really come to kill you. She said, halachically, I'm not supposed to. Don't you see? I have the corner of your beggar in my hand. I tore off the corner of your beggar. I didn't kill you. I have nothing bad against you. No sin. But you have hunting my soul. You're trying to take it. You're trying to grab it. Right? How could you possibly do it over here? Some say that when he said, Avi, he was trying to show to Avner. Avner was his father when it came to learning. And he said, you're my Rebbe, right, because you know so much. And he said, my father, look, saying to Avner, look, don't you see I'm not coming after your master? I'm not going after Shaul. Why are you chasing after me? That's another thing over here. Also, it could be that he was trying to console Shaul HaMelech on losing his throne. You're not losing your throne to anybody. You're losing your throne to your son-in-law. I'm your son, right? You're my father. So at least know that it's not going to a stranger, at least it's going to me, right? That's the idea behind it. So that's the idea that it should be over there. May God judge between me and you. May Hashem avenge me of you. My hand will never go against you. If you're going to kill me, I can't do anything about it. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm not going to hold my hand against you. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will repay you for it. Kasher Mer Moshal Kadmoni, as they say from an ancient proverb, some say this is from the Torah itself, Mirashayim Yetzer Rasha, from evil people comes evil, V'yadi Lo Ziyabach, but my hand will not come against you, and that's that. It will never happen that something will be that way. Maybe the ancient proverb is based on the Pasuk in Bereishis, right? Adam Damo Yishafech. Adam W. Shafech, now I'm forgetting what the wording is, but it's at the end of Bereishis, right? I should look it up. Right after Cain and Hevel, it says, Adam W. Oh, no, right after Noach, I'm sorry. Right after Noach, it says, here we go. Shofech dama Adam ba Adam, Dami Yishafech. Spilling the blood of a man, by man, that blood will be spilled. Right? That's the idea behind it. From evil comes more evil, and it just comes like that. That's the idea behind it. Okay, some say it's from Cain and Hevel. Potik Yodalit, Achrei Miyata Melech Yisrael, after whom has the king gone out? Achrei Miyata Rodef, after whom are you chasing over here? Achrei Kelev Mace, after a dead dog? Achrei Parosh Achad, after a flea? That's what you're worried about over here? The Malbim is saying he specifically chose a dead dog. The dog is the most faithful of all animals that follows its master wherever the master goes. Fine, if you want me to be like a dead dog, I am like a dead dog. I'm willing to follow you wherever you go. That's what he said to Shaul HaMelech, and that's the idea behind it. And he wanted to belittle himself in Shaul HaMelech's eyes. He knew that Shaul HaMelech considered himself greater in his military prowess and other things over there, in his fame. Right, for that, David HaMelech said, look, I was able to do all this. You're right, but I'm just a flea. I'm just a dog. Hashem will be our judge. He will judge between me and you. He will fight my fight. And of course, take justice from your hands itself. And that's the idea behind it. Maybe he was saying, exact my justice from Avner. Because again, Avner said right over here, Avner also told Shaul HaMelech when Shaul HaMelech went out, right, he said, I don't know if it really was David HaMelech. Maybe Maybe it got caught in a thorn. And that's the reason. And David Melech is using that as an excuse, saying, I cut off the corner of your baguette. How could you not have felt it? And that's over there. And Chazal say that's why Avner was killed later. Avner was killed by Yoav later in a trick, because he had convinced himself that David Melech didn't do it, and David Melech lied. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could you not see the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all this? When David Melech had finished saying these words to Shaul, isn't this my son David? Right? He lifted up his voice and he cried over here. And again, he said, my son, just like he had said it's his father, so to really said the exact same thing. So he said, Vayomer David, tzadik to me, you're a bigger tzadik than I am, ki atu gamaltani yatova v'ani gamalticha ra. You paid me back for good, but I have given you only bad. Shaul now realized that the people that he had killed in Nov were innocent. Up until now, he thought that they really were starting a coup d'etat, that they were trying to fight against him, and maybe the people were deserving of death, something over there. But now he sees the people in Nov did not deserve death, and he was wrong. And he looked at it and he said, you're right, I've done real evil here in killing the people that were in Nov Yerikwan. You have related the good that you've done for me today, all the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put you into my hands and has not killed me. Right, if a man finds his enemy, does he send him on the good way? May HaKadosh Baruch Hu reward you with good for everything you did to me today. This is awesome, what you did for me today. Behold, now I know. You will surely rule. The come of Yadcha Mamlech of Yisrael. And in your hands, the kingdom of Yisrael is definitely going to be. And this is amazing. Shaul HaMelech now said out loud, I know you're going to be king. I know you're going to be king. I realize that it's going to be that way. And not only that, but Maloch Timloch, you're going to be king in this world, and you're going to be king in the next world. I know that you're going to be greater than everything that I'm able to have. Again, Shaul HaMelech may have learned that Shmuel HaNavi had secretly anointed David HaMelech, but it's more likely that Shaul HaMelech knew this the whole time. He had been told by Shmuel that somebody was going to be chosen. It's clearly David, and he understood what it was supposed to be.
And
yeah,
he also knew, everybody knew it was coming from Yehuda.
Oh, 100%, yeah. And aside from that, he also saw, he knew that David HaMelech was a warrior. He had defeated Goliath. He saw that he had compassion as well, and that he knew a king needs to be a warrior and have compassion. David HaMelech
had both. Is there anything to the Kri and the Ksiv in Viata, and I think it was Pesach Chaf that you have? Or?
I don't have. What do you have?
It looks like feminine.
Oh. That's all you got to do. Where are you? Pesach Yutas.
Well, it's not Yutas. Your Yutas. My Yutas.
Oh, it's my Yutas. That's right. I don't have anything. I would have to think about it. I don't even have a hay. I think it's just how you read it. And sometimes the word Atah does appear without a hay. Yeah, it's okay in this case. But in Pasuk Chav Aleph, Atah Yishavali B'Hashem, now swear to me by God, that you will not kill my children after me, you will not destroy my name from my father's house, that nothing bad will happen. Yishavah David L'Shol. David Melech then swore to Shol, the end of Perek Chav Dalet, by Yelech Shol, Shol went back to his house, with David Melech Alol Mina Metzuda, Alol Metzuda. They went back to their stronghold right over here. So now, David's oath was concerning Shol HaMelech himself. Lishol, he swore. He swore about Shol, I won't touch you. Doesn't mean I'm not going to touch your kids. That's why later on, when, remember, the people from the Givonim asked for the 7 children and grandchildren of Shol HaMelech to be killed, he allowed it to happen. Why would you allow it to happen? You promised that you wouldn't let anything happen to Shol HaMelech's kids. The answer is, he answered it for Shol. He swore to them, but he did not swear for everybody else over here. Mm-hmm. Some say when it says that Shol went home, he went home as a commoner. He never went back to his throne. He was never considered a melech from this point on. Parakafe. Yama Shmuel. Shmuel then died.
Who is he supposed to... Vayishava David LaShaul. Shaul's talking to him.
No, but he's just in Vayishava David. David swore. Period. That's all you need. Lishol means only to Shaul. He didn't swear to anybody else, about anybody else. He only swore about Shaul itself. Yama Shmuel. Shmuel died. This is in Parakafe. So all of Bnei Yisrael gathered. They gave him a hesped. They buried him in his house in Ramah. David Melech arose. He ran to the wilderness of Paran right over there. Now, obviously, the first 24 chapters that we read over here were written by Shmuel HaNavi. He also wrote Shoftim. He also wrote Yoshua. From this point on, was written by God HaChoza and Nosan HaNavi. It was not written by Shmuel. He's dead. Okay, so that's for sure. That's number one over here. Chazal tell us that Shmuel HaNavi died on the 28th of Iyar. If he died on the 28th of Iyar, then we have a major problem with everything else that goes on from this point forward. Because Nevel HaKarmeli, who we're going to learn about, he's the one that died on Yom Kippur. Ir, Sivan, Tammuz of Elul Tishrei, right? This took a total of like 5.5 months, right, until Nevel HaKarmeli happened. And then Shaul HaMelech was still chasing after David HaMelech, right? It sounds like everything should have happened a lot quicker. So there could be, again, that we're off in years and that everything is off a little bit. But regardless, they say 28th of Iyar. He died at the age of 52. He was the chief Navi and the Shofet of Klal Yisrael for either 10 or 12 years, depending on how you look at it.
It's crazy. Where was he this whole time?
Well, he was in Ramah.
I know. It's scared also of Shaul. It's also scared the Navi. These guys just disappear.
Well, no, not Shmuel. Shmuel and Navi was still awesome. He was getting older. No longer could travel around as much as he wanted. But remember, he was scared to death of Shmuel and Navi. Of Shaul HaMelech. So he couldn't go anywhere. So Shmuel and Navi did have David come to him, right, and he accepted him to come to him. And remember, we just said that before, David ran to him after he went from Novi or Kohanim, spoke with Shmuel about what was going on. But Shmuel and Avi was not disappeared, he just stayed at home. He was no longer judging people. Mida Kineged Mida, when Shmuel and Avi passed away, everyone came to him. Remember, Shmuel and Avi is the one who went to everybody else. Now everybody came to honor him for what he had done right over there. They mourned him, they eulogized him. They knew how great Shmuel and Avi was. He was equal to Moshe and Aaron in a way. Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohanav, u'Shmuel b'Korei Shemo. They considered it like that. And in all the cities, people mourned Shmuel the same way they did in his own city. He was 100% one of the greatest people to have ever lived. His oldest son, Yoel, was a Navi. His grandson, Haman, was Levi, who sang in the Beis HaMikdash itself and was mentioned all over there. Shmuel and Avi was buried in a cave in Ramah. Chazal tell us that Chana and Elkanah, his parents, are buried lower down in that cave, right? And that's the idea behind it. Some say that when the Christians captured Ramah from the Muslims, this may have been back in the 12th century, 11th century, depending on which crusade we're talking about, they found Shmuel's tomb. After bringing his body to Shiloh, which is about 8 miles from Yerushalayim, they buried Shmuel there, and they built a mausoleum that was named after him. So it could be that he was buried in a place there called Timnat, and that was made by the Christians, but not by us. By us, it would be by Ramah itself, and that in and of itself is a real question right over there. The Zohar that's mentioned over there, there's an unbelievable thing that they say. There's something that's mentioned almost like a tefillah to say if you're at Shmuel and Avi's kever. Shmuel and Avi's kever when they go through over there. David HaMelech was there as well, along with all of Klal Yisrael. When it says that all of Klal Yisrael went, but Yikavtu Kol Yisrael, even David HaMelech went, even though he knew he was in trouble from Shaul HaMelech. He went, and he said, whether I'm going to be killed or live, it doesn't matter, I have to pay my respects over there. Shaul HaMelech respected the funeral and did not do anything to anybody right over there. There's only one person who did not mourn Shmuel's death at all. His name was Nevel HaKarmeli. Nevel was a horrible person, a disgusting person. He did not mourn Shmuel whatsoever. And for that reason, Nevel is going to unfortunately have sudden affliction. He's going to die. Now, he had an excuse, as we'll see. Nevel HaKarmeli had a reason why he was so angry at Shmuel and Avi, because he felt he was supposed to be king instead of David. But we're not there yet. Pasuk Beis, the Ish b'Ma'on, Maseo b'Karmel. There was a man in Ma'on whose business was in Carmel. Well, Ish Gadol Ma'on, the man was very great. The Lord Son Shoshel Alafim, he had 3,000 sheep. Elephizim, 1,000 goats. V'Yigzoz Son of b'Karmel. It was a time when he was shearing his sheep in the Carmel itself. Now, it's funny. Wait a second. Was he in Ma'on or Carmel? Well, it depended. If you came up to him and said, hey, in Ma'on, let's say, you came up to him and you said, we're in Ma'on right now. Can you give me some money for tzedakah? You'd be like, oh, I gave all my tzedakah in Carmel. If he was in Carmel, they would say, hey, can you give any tzedakah? He'd say, oh, I gave all my money in Ma'on. I'm really sorry. But he never gave tzedakah, and he excused it on being in the other place. That's the idea behind it. Carmel was a land with a lot of pasture land. It was not a city. This man was very great in the sense that he was extremely wealthy. That's the idea behind it. However, there might be another line behind very great. I mean, you don't call a man Gadol Ma'od in the pasuk without him being very great. And the answer is yes, he was. He was from Kalev ben Yefuna. He was a descendant of Kalev ben Yefuna, ben Ben, all the way back from Kalev ben Yefuna, and he knew. And therefore, for that reason, he said, well, what are you taking a king from Rusa Moavia and Boaz? I come from Kalev ben Yefuna. I'm one of the greatest out there. I'm the next one who should become king over here. I'm the one who should be right over there, etc. And that's the idea behind it. And that's possibly a reference to the Carmel over here. He had a great grandfather named Yerachmiel. He mamish held that he was the only one left to be able to take the throne, because everybody else had soiled their ancestry by marrying out into other people. He was one that's, yeah.
Gadol Ma'od just means he was really rich.
That's the Pashup Shot. Pashup Shot is that he was just really wealthy, and that's that. That's it in itself. Okay, in those times, whenever you sheared the sheep, you made a huge meal out of it, and you made a massive party, you did something big for everybody over there, you took out the bechors, the firstborn, you know, sheep, you took that wool, etc., and you go as whatever it is. There's a funny thing, there's a mashal given by the Medrash. As long as the rich man is in his city, even if he's miserly and won't give to the poor, he's honored because of his wealth. Once he goes elsewhere, he's recognized for what he really is. That's what it says here. He was a man of Maon, but the business was in Carmel. As long as he was in Maon, the man was very great. When he was shearing sheep in Carmel, when he left his city, that's when his name was Neville. The Abarbanel says he was named Neville by his neighbors. They hated him. All of his neighbors hated him because he allowed his sheep to go through their fields in order to get to the pasture lands. And because of that, they called him Neville. He was in the Neville. Nobody liked him whatsoever. Pasuk Gimel. Shem Yish Neville, Shem Yish Avi Gail. His wife's name was Abigail. Avi is like a parent. Gail is mirth, which meant she was a very happy-go-lucky person. Ha'isha tova seichel v'yifas toar. The woman was very good of mind. She was very beautiful. Ha'ish kasha. In fact, Chazal say that Abigail was one of the four most beautiful people to have ever lived. She was a very beautiful looking woman, right? So although they say it's Rachav, Hazona, Esther or Vashi, Abigail, and what's it called? And Sarimenu. Right, those are the four. The father of Yish Kashav Rama Alolim. The man was harsh. He was very evil in everything he did. Who Kalavi? Right, either he was from Kalev, as we said before, or he mounts like a dog. A dog despises his own kind, and whenever another dog gets close, it barks and barks and barks and won't share its food with anybody. That was Neville. That's what he's like over there. But it could be that there was still something in him. It could also be Kulolev. He was all into his taivas and his heart, and he never listened to his brain. He never listened to whatsoever. Others say he at least, it's one good thing about him, he wasn't a faker. He was as evil on the outside as he was on the inside. Right, he kept it real. He was never somebody who pretended, right, pretended to be pious. Ba'ishma Davin Minborki goes as Neville Osono. Davin Mel heard while he was in the desert that Neville was shearing his sheep. Ba'ishma Davin Osono Aron. So Davin sent a good amount of people, 10 men. Ba'yomer LeDavin Len Aron, he said to those young men, Alu Carmela, go to Carmel. Ba'asam Ol Neville, go to Neville. Sh'altam lo b'shmi l'shalom. Say to him in my name that he should have peace over there, right? And that's Avamatum Kolachoy, right? And you should say, may it always be so. I don't know if you know the song on Lag BaOmer. Ve'amartum Kolachoy, Rabin Shimon Bar Yochoy, but Kolachoy is a very famous line. Ko is Chaf Hei, referring to the name. There's a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Ko, right? You might hear it like Bracha is Bar Ko. He's able to handle the Chaf Hei Brachos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a lot to it, the 25 letters. Either way, but that's what it means by ko lechoy. You should have this next year as well. You are peace, your house is peace, everything you should have is in peace. These are huge brachos and awesome brachos over here. And not just stam. This was Rosh Hashanah, according to Chazal. If it's Rosh Hashanah saying ko lechoy, he's almost like addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying ko lechoy, to really give whatever you need in this world, everything should be for you. I heard that you're shearing. Now I got to tell you, the shepherds that were with you, they were with us. We never shamed them. Nothing was ever missing for them. As long as they were in the Carmel, we took care of them. We herded the sheep together with them. We never mistreated, we never belittled them, even though there were other people who thought to do that. We never did anything like that. We didn't harm them whatsoever. They never went empty-handed. Whenever they asked something for us, we gave them. And therefore, when we're asking for you, we expect you to give as well. We have a lot of people, 600 people is a lot of people to be able to feed in the middle of the Midbar. We're asking for a little bit of food because of what we did. Now, on the one hand, you look at something and you're like, dude, if you wanted money, you should have said something in the first place. If you want me to pay for your services because you're claiming that you're guarding our flocks and taking care of our flocks, fine. I agree. I might owe you something. But you know what? You know what? I don't think you should have said to me at the end. You should have told me originally and said something to me. And then afterward, I would have said, okay, I'll go ahead and give you something. But you're asking me only after everything's said and done? You can't do that. It's like I learn with a guy for 2 years. And then I go up to him and she's like, okay, you owe me $23,000, right? I charged you $400 an hour for the last 2 years. What? If you would have told me that, I wouldn't have done it. You can't tell me that. So that's what Neville could have looked at. But that's not this. David Melech is not trying to ask to be paid. He said, I'm not asking to be paid over here. We did a favor for you. We need a favor right now. We don't have any money, right? We could use a little bit of something. Yes, it counts as tzedakah because we're all starving. If there's anything you can give us, this is the time to be able to give us. That's all he was saying. He's not telling him, you have to give me food. He's saying, if you can, we'd like to have some food over here. Sha'al's no recha. Why don't you ask your youths? He said to them, Yagidulach, they'll tell you. And the youths should find favor in your eyes. Gal Yom Tov. Right? Give whatever you can afford to your sons and whatever it is right over here. Not only that, David Melch is also saying, listen, you got to give rachis a gaze anyway, right? The first of the shearings of wool goes to a kohen. I've got a kohen, I've got a v'yasser. In fact, there are no other kohanim around. No v'yasser kohanim is destroyed. I've got the only kohen that you could get around here. Why don't you give him right over here? It is funny, says Rashi, that he was absolutely desperate. It was Rosh Hashanah and he had no food for the holiday. So he was saying to Neville, I'd like to have something for the holiday itself. Right, that's the idea behind it. Some say it was for Shavuos. But yeah, because obviously it's Ir, and Sivan is the next. The Nari David came, they spoke to Neville all these words in the name of David, and then they rested. Meaning, they didn't just sit down, and then after they said, no, let us say our peace. They said over everything, whatever it was, and that's that. Some say they couldn't say it. Neville didn't tell them to sit down. He's like, stand up, tell me what you want. Right? He did not allow them to relax, let him have anything to... Once he stopped speaking, then he said, okay, now I'll tell you what to do, right over there. But that's that. Now, and also, for the fact that they rested and then Neville responded, was that Neville didn't just have an emotional reaction of like, I'm not giving away my money. Maybe that could happen. I come up to you suddenly and ask you for $1 billion. You're just like, I'm not giving you $1 billion, right? He rested, they thought about it, and then afterward, Vayan Neville Zavdi David, he answered them. Vayomer, Mi David Mi Ben Yishai. Who is David? Who is the son of Yishai? Right? Hayom Rabo Avadim Yisparta Mishmifne Adonav. Today, oh, can you imagine, like nowadays, I see it all the time, these youths, right, that are getting out there, that I mean sports and that are breaking away from their masters themselves, that are making such of that. Yalkut Shimoni says that Neville was not just that, he was casting aspersions on David's lineage and saying, aren't you from Rosh Moavia? Kind of a person are you?
Well, it's interesting.
You're going up and you're telling me this.
Say Ben Yishai, because he could have used the Ben Yishai. Yishai was a big deal.
Well, me David, umi Ben Yishai. Who is David and who is the son of Yishai? Aren't you from Rosh Moavia? Aren't you from nobody over here? And that was a Chilul Hashem. Neville, remember, claimed that the Malchus really belongs to him. Yerushalmi Sanhedrin says that's the reason why he didn't mourn Shmuel. Because he mamish felt that he was the next in line to become king, so he was angry. He said, who are all these people that are rebelling against their master? The master is not Shaul, the master is him. He expected to be out there. And that was the idea behind it. Right, he said, maybe when Shmuel and Avi died, that meant the Nevuah went away as well, right? And therefore, David and Melech's Malchus went away, and now it goes to me. Right, that's the idea of Uriah right over there. So that's that. Some say that Neville said, wait a second. Ahimelech was killed for helping you. If I help you, I'm going to be killed as well. I have a legitimate excuse not to do anything. He killed Novir Akwana because he gave him Ahimelech gave you a little bit of food. He's going to kill me as well. I don't want that to happen over there. That's that. Notice, David Melech called them the Arim, right? Here he says, Rabu Avadim, and Avdei David. He called them slaves. Right, he did not treat them with any respect whatsoever. I should take my bread and my water and that shechting, the meat that I butchered for my shearers, and give it to men that I don't know, where they're from over here. I don't know who you guys are. Again, this is a miser, right? And that's the idea behind it. But he said, he's not even making his wealth for his own family. He's using it for other people and he can't invite anybody over to the meal. That's the ridiculousness of what he's talking about. So, Nari David turned back. They didn't even eat anything. But Yeshua, they returned to David and told him everything that had happened. They just turned away. They didn't feel like listening anymore. Neville wasn't done speaking, but the Nari David had no respect for him, so they just got up and they left. Turned their backs on him, and that's that. David said to his men, everybody gird your sword. Get your sword on your thing. David did the same. David, about 400 men went with David. 200 stayed by the weapons themselves, and that's that. Now, simply put, you look at this and you think, like, it's blood-curdling anger. It's that David HaMelech was so angry. He got so hot-headed that he got made fun of. He was like, you know what? I'm going to go kill him right now. But that's a mistake to think that way. You can't think that David HaMelech had any thoughts of revenge in his head over Neville HaKarmeli. It was just, he was asking for a request. Neville HaKarmeli could say no. That was not the issue. The issue was, number one, This is rebellion against the king. Now, although you might look at it and you say to yourself, well, he's not the king just yet, but this is worse than a rebellion against the king. Nevela Carmeli is claiming to be the next king. And David HaMelech is supposed to be the next king with Shmuel Navi on his side. He can't allow this to happen. He can't let this go without anything whatsoever. And that's why he needed Chachamim. He had to call in Chachamim to be able to see what in the world is going to happen over here. Chazal say, he said, Vayomer David La'anoshav. He said to his men over here, Chazal say that there is no need for a Beis Din when judging Morida B'malchus, rebelling against the king itself. You don't need it whatsoever. The king is granted the power to pardon if he sets up a death sentence. But you don't need a Beis Din in order to kill somebody that's right over there. We also learned something interesting. When we go through judges in order to see by capital punishment, we always go with the lesser ones first. As the chief judge, he's only asked in the end. Over here, David HaMelech said, we are girding ourselves for war. Nobody could argue on him. Even though they might have thought differently, it doesn't make a difference whatsoever. They have to go over here. The Bar Moshe adds on that not only was this a guy who wanted to become king, right, Neville? He was wealthy, he was powerful, he was well known, and everybody thought of him as a really chush of a guy. If Neville HaKarmeli remained alive to fight against David HaMelech, then even when Shaul died and David became king, he'd have another rebellion to fight against in Yehuda itself that he could not have, and he did not want it, and that's why he had to do this as much as possible to stop a civil war before it ever happened over here. That's the idea behind it. By the way, there was a little bit, you know why Neville did this in the first place? Aside from thinking that he saw that Abigail, through a dream, was going to have kings from her loins. And she was right, he was right. Abigail was going to be married to David, and although her son would not be king, Kilov/Daniel, would not be king, right? He was still a very, very, very great man. And therefore, Neville HaKarmeli messed up, thought it was through his child with Abigail. Abigail was really going to have it through David HaMelech itself. Okay, that's that. Yeah, some say that this is a reference in Tehillim Yudalid. Amar Neville Belibo Ein Elokim. The Neville says, the abominable person says in his heart, there is no God. It refers to Neville himself. L'Avigail Ishis Neville. Avigail, the wife of Neville. He Gid Narech Man, or one of the young guys said, Leimor Hine Sholach David Malachim Mimibor Levaruch Zar Nineveh Yavahem. David Malach sent messengers from the wilderness in order to bless our master, and this is what he did to them. It was justified, right? He could he was staying right over here. He sent greetings and a bracha to Neville itself. And by Yavahem, he kicked them out completely. The men were really good to us. They didn't make fun of us. They didn't make sure. They made sure nothing was missing. As long as we were together with them, they were God-fearing men. They didn't drink. They didn't take anything from us. They only helped us, and that's that. And therefore, even though normally roei tzon, our puzzle is edim, we don't trust them whatsoever. Here's a roei tzon that really meant it, and therefore we could go ahead and had we can trust them. They were a wall for us. They were protection for us at night and during the day. As long as we were herding the sheep with them, they were totally righteous. They never touched us. The ata, de'iri'i, you should know and see matasi, what you should do over here. Because the evil is now have been decided against our master. Valkobi's on all of his whole house. Right? He is a wicked man. We can't speak to him. Can you imagine saying that to a wife? He's a wicked man. You know, we can't talk to this guy. We don't know what to do. But she took 200 things of bread, and 2 flasks of wine, chamesh tzon asuyos, and 5 full sheep that were already prepared, v'chamesh tzon kuli, and 5 sa'az of roasted kernels, v'me'atzimukim, and 100 huge raisins, not like the tiny little raisins that you find in like those little, like you imagine 100 raisins, like here you go, I got 2 little boxes,
you know?
It's the good stuff, it's the big, big raisin, it's like, it just means dried something, v'masayim tve'elim, 200 fig cakes, v'atzosim al-chamar, she put them on top of donkeys, v'atom little rat, and she said to her young men, ivru lefanai hinini achareichem, go in front of me first, I'm behind you, ba, right? I will become a Leisha Neville Oigida. She did not say anything to Neville whatsoever. Now, normally you're not allowed to have a gift from a woman. You're not allowed to take a gift from a woman. Over here, since it's to save her life, that's why it was okay and why David HaMelech was able to do it over here. Chazal learned from over here that if you're stingy in your obligations, you're going to end up paying even more. Look what happened. Neville could have gotten away with giving him 1 sheep. And instead, he had to give all of this stuff along with it because he didn't do this right over here. This is also very smart of her. She gave the presents first. She knew that this was a danger. David HaMelech may not even stop to listen to her. He may just capture her and then throw her in the back. So for that reason, she sent the gifts first and that's that. Some say that the reason why she sent the gifts first is because Neville might find out about it and stop it. She sent the gifts first as quick as she could, so that nothing bad would happen. She was riding on a donkey, she was going down, means on the slope of the mountain. David and his men were riding down to greet her, but they could not see each other. There was trees in the way. Then all of a sudden, they met each other right over there. Gemara says that when they ended the conversation that David Melech and Abigail had, the beauty that Abigail had attracted David so much that he followed after her for 12 miles, but he remained righteous and pure, did not touch her, did not have any thoughts about her. It happened in Rosh Hashanah. David sinned, right? Had David sinned, Neville, who died 10 days later for rebelling against David, would not have been punished in heaven on David's account. If David would have been together with his wife. But he didn't. He wouldn't be together with her whatsoever. It was Rosh Hashanah. He stopped himself, even though it was extremely hard for him, knowing that Abigail was going to be his wife, and knowing that Neville HaKarmeli was already Chai of Misa in Shemayim, and knowing that once a person is Chai of Misa in Shemayim, Doi Gadomi had already paskined your wife is mutter. Remember, Doi Gadomi at Paskin, that David's wife was mutter to marry Palti ben Laish because he was Chayiv Misa for Mori b'Malchus. So to over here, Chayiv Misa Mori b'Malchus. He Paskined like Doig and then said, no, you know what? It's not going to be whatsoever. In fact, it seems that he might have even said something to her, to leave your husband, he said to Abigail, and join me right now. But she said, that's inappropriate right now. That's not the way to go. Wait until Neville dies, because she was a prophetess, she was a Nevi'ah. Wait until Neville dies, and then we'll talk about it afterward, but no way we're going to do this whatsoever. Not now. Okay, that is that. Maratzchia says, what about everybody else in the household? Why is Neville and his whole family dying? So Maratzchia says they were all complicit. Everybody was complicit except for Abigail. That's why Abigail was able to save everybody while nobody else was there. Others say that Viorda's Beseis Ahor, some say the reason why she was riding on a donkey, this is Gemara Pesachim, says she was riding on a donkey, split-legged on the donkey, which is normally not normal for a woman. They usually ride side saddle, so it's more tznius. But however, when she was riding down a mountain, she was scared, or maybe it was at night she was scared, or she was scared of David HaMelech himself, and therefore she rode in the normal fashion, which is normally not done by women. May God do this to the enemies of David, and even more so, if I leave alive of any of his people, anyone that urinates against a wall, said David HaMelech. This is a curse that really, says the Radak, could apply to anybody. It didn't have to be against Neville himself. It could be about anybody, but that's there. Mashim Mikir could be referring to the dogs, could be referring to all the males, could be anybody with intelligence, but it could be anything over here. But it refers to something right over there. And again, as we already said, right, that he knew that he had to do something now because of the possible rebellion in the future. He had to act and do something right then at that point whatsoever. Abigail saw David, that he was really upset. She quickly got off the donkey. She bowed down in front of David Melech, in front of her face. She bowed down all the way to the ground. She fell by his feet. Be ani adoni, please, my master. Avon, be ani adoni avon. The sin is by me. She lied. She said, it's my fault. But it is her fault. She should have known what Neville was like and should have been around him more often. Please let me speak in your ears. Please listen to the words of your maidservant. I am the one who didn't do what I was supposed to do. Don't worry about that evil man. I'm the person that's named Neville. Kikishmo Kenhu. His name? That's who he is. He's a Menuvel. He's a terrible person. Neville Shmo Nevalimo. Vani Amoscha. Lo Re'isias Nare Aduni. I did not see the Nare of my master, Sheshlachta, that you had sent, and therefore it's there. So, number one, he's too unworthy of your attention. You're a king. You don't have to worry about that. Number two, it will hurt your reputation if you kill Neville before you're actually king. That's number two. And number three, you're only the future king. You're not the actual king yet, and therefore I can't allow you to kill Neville before that ends up happening. Belial, because anybody who doesn't give tzedakah is considered like an idolater, somebody who does avodah zarah. So Belial is Bli'ol, is somebody who does avodah zarah because he didn't give any tzedakah. Now, by the life of my master and by the life of your life over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has prevented you from doing any spilling any blood. V'hoshea yod chalach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should just save you by your hand. V'ata you can novel oyvecha. Now, like novel, will all of your enemies be. And anybody who searches for evil against my master, and that's who what she's saying. She already prophesied that Neville was going to die within 10 days, right? And something was going to happen. So you don't have to worry about much. It's going to happen very soon. This offering that I give her, this bracha, I'm giving over to the youths that go before my master itself, and obviously for you itself, right? You should go through. Please forgive the sins of your mezuki. Bayis Neman, because the Kodesh Baruch will make a bayis Neman be Yisrael, obviously referencing herself and saying, I should be a part of this. Kimo Hamas Hashem Aduni Nocham, because you fight the wars of God, and you've never seen evil in your life. And she was hinting over here, you got to be careful, because this won't be your problem, right? You won't be over an Ish Ish this time, but there will be an issue where you might be over an Ish Ish later, and that was going to be with Bathsheba. And that's the idea behind it. But that was a bit of an apology to be able to go through of what's going to be over here. Some say there was another Nebu over here. The Nebu is that he would not build the Beis HaMikdash. That if you kill Neville, for sure the kingdom will not be yours, but you're not going to be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. You got one more minute. See if we can finish Chavtes, maybe. We're not going to be able to finish the whole parak, unfortunately, but Chavtes. Vayakam Adam Lirdavcha. A man rose to pursue you. Levakish Namshecha, he wants your soul. But my master's soul should be tied to the tie of life, as Hashem Elkecha, together with Hashem, as Nefesh Avecha Yekalena B'sol Kavakela. The Nefesh of your enemies should be sent into the hollow of the sling, should be slung back and forth and back and forth. Chazal say that there are secrets that are only told to us by women throughout Navi and Ksuvim. One of them is told by Abigail what happens to the soul after death. That the soul of a tzaddik is tzura b'tzura chayim, while the soul of a rasha is in kafa kela. And that refers to very, very different things, which is the Ramban in the Rabbeinu Bachaya in Katekemach talks about, so the Ramban in Shara Gemul, and there's some seven fundamental principles about the nefesh that we have to go into next time. We'll stop with this for right now, and we'll start with these seven principles of the nefesh the next time we're able to learn. Okay, stop right there in the middle of Parakhapet.